And thank you so much for that music. Thank you for being a part of that music and singing those praises to the Lord, those songs of testimony to Him. It's a great privilege to do that, to live in a country where we are able to sing loudly. We should sing maybe a little extra loudly because there are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are not able to do that. They have to sing softly and in secret because of persecution. We are blessed, and we should surely make a loud noise unto the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we want to run to the Lord Jesus this morning. We thank you that you are good and faithful, that your Son is strong and kind. And Father, we run to Him because we are desperate this morning. We're desperate to hear from you. Father, our lives are needy. We struggle every day. Father, we may not even look like it here this morning to one another, but you know our struggles. We know our struggles. And how we need your word, how we need you to tell us what it is that you want us to hear. Father, we pray that we won't wait until Sunday morning to hear from you. But Father, as we come together corporately like this, we do desire as a local church to hear your voice through the scriptures. And so we open your word this morning in humility and in submission to you. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians is where we'll be this morning. If you have your Bible, I will ask you to turn there. We began this series last Sunday morning, and you may remember this little icon here, and you may remember it from your phone or your computer if you don't remember it from the message last Sunday morning. This, of course, is the messenger symbol. How many of you sent at least one messenger message this week? Raise your hand if you sent at least one. Okay, but I want to give you some statistics. Now, you're going to find this really interesting. You might find yourself in a minority or in a majority. More than 1.3 billion people use Messenger each month. 1.3 billion. I don't know if that surprises you. Surprises me. 410 million users use video chat on Messenger monthly. I actually did that this week. Used a video chat. I'm one of the 410 million. 20 billion messages are sent between people and businesses on Messenger each month. Wow. Messenger is the second most popular iOS app of all time behind Facebook, which, of course, Messenger is part of Facebook. So there's a lot of messages being sent. A lot of messengers using Messenger to send messages. Some of those messages were a waste of time. Some of those messages were foolishness. Some of those messages were very important. Some of those messages were messages of comfort, of encouragement, of strength, of information. A messenger is busy. And we're looking at the book of 2 Corinthians really under that one-word theme, messenger. And we started here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just the first two verses. And I didn't do very well with my time management because I only got halfway through the first verse. So we're going to try to do a little bit better today, or we'll never get through the book of 2 Corinthians. It's 13 chapters, so we won't making a half a verse a message is not going to cut it. So we're going to have to go a little quicker than that. But as we look at 2 Corinthians, we mentioned last Sunday morning that I would like for us to look at this from a particular perspective. Obviously, this idea of messenger. But I want to tie that in with our 2020 vision here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. To be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. I hope that you can grasp it. I hope that you can get your arms around that. I hope you can get your heart around that and can be a part of that vision. To know the Lord Jesus more deeply. Through the book of 2 Corinthians, we want to get to know Him better. And not just know about Him, not just get information about Him, but to actually know Him better, more intimately. That is our desire in studying this book. And also that we might make Him known more widely. Oh, that we might invite people to come and to hear from 2 Corinthians, but more importantly, that we as individual messengers might take the message of Jesus Christ more widely, because you can reach people I will never reach. People will listen to you that will turn me off. You have opportunities to reach people with the most important message in the universe. And God wants you to be that messenger. We're introducing our study of 2 Corinthians by observing four key elements of Paul's introduction in these first two verses. Let me read the verses for us again this morning, and you can follow along. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned last Sunday morning that it's easy when you're reading one of the New Testament letters to just very quickly go through that introduction. It seems like a formality, but it's not a formality to Paul. It's not a formality to those initial readers, and it shouldn't be a formality to us. But we said there are four key elements we want to look at in this introduction. And just, again, to get a little idea here on the map again, you can see there in the ancient world there, the world of the first century, our little red arrow pointing there to Corinth. We mentioned it's in Achaia, which is the southern section of Greece. You see it there in green, and the orange-tan color above it is Macedonia. That's the northern section of Greece. And then you can see the rest, though, that red line there shows Paul's third missionary journey. And you see Corinth. That's the reason that we have it there. But the very first of those important key elements, we're not going to go back through this, but just as a quick review, and if you weren't here last week, the first key element is a model messenger, and Paul introduces himself as an apostle. And we're not going to go back all through that, but the application for us is that we too are sent ones. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you don't have an option. Whether or not you are a messenger, now you have an option about how you will do taking that message, but we're all messengers. We're not apostles with a capital A, but we are sent ones, and we have authority from and accountability to Jesus Christ. Paul says that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and it's God's will that every believer would be an effective messenger. This book, we mentioned, was written by Paul primarily from his perspective as a defense of his ministry. There were those, we will see, who were attacking him and saying that he was not truly an apostle, that he was not bringing the true message of Jesus Christ. And so he's writing to defend that apostleship, not for his own benefit, but he knew that if the integrity of the messenger is undermined, then the message will be brought into question. And so we saw in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that Paul is our model. He says there, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ is the ultimate messenger. Paul was a human messenger used of God. We can learn from Paul, from his life, from his example. We mentioned last week, this of all Paul's letters opens up his heart more than any others. And then secondly, we looked at the second key element, a functioning family. Because we find that there was someone with him, not as a co-author, but as a co-sender of this message. Another messenger, his name was Timothy. Timothy, our brother. Timothy, our brother. Timothy, we saw, was saved. And as Paul and his missionary team came through Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, they met Timothy and they took him with them to be a part of their team. And we were reminded that God emphasizes family. Family is important to God. We'll mention that a little bit later in our time together this morning. It'll come back up. But we see that we are to function as family members, not just people who attend the same local church, not just as people who live in the same general area, but actually as family. And as family, we're to function as a family of messengers. So now we come to the third of these key elements, and we got started on this a little bit there in the middle of verse 1, a recognized recipient. And you notice that he addresses his letter not to a current occupant or to whom it may concern or even dear sirs. No, he addresses his letter specifically to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who were in all Achaia. So we began to look last week at the church, the Greek word ekklesia. Literally, ones who were called out. Ones who were called out by God. Paul was writing a letter to people that he knew very well. He had spent time with them. Spent 18 months with them. He knew them well. Timothy had also visited with them and knew them well. It's addressed to a group of people very recognized by Paul and Timothy. And also, I think they're very recognizable to us. Not because we lived 2 millennia ago and knew them, but rather because they remind us of ourselves in a lot of ways. We find here that they are the called out ones. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we read that the Lord added to the church, added to the called out ones, daily those who are being saved. The church, as we have it in the New Testament, is not a building. It's not a building. This building is not the church. This is a meeting place for this local church. We come together, those who know the Lord Jesus, as the church. We are called out by God, and the Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. When you believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you have done that, at that moment, you may have had no clue about it. You may have thought the church was a building, but you were actually added at that moment to the church by God. He called you out. He called you out. And we read in Acts 20 and verse 28 that the church of God was purchased with His own blood. Purchased. Is the church of God important to God? The very blood of His precious Son, the precious Son, precious blood of His precious Son was the purchase price of every individual believer who was a part of the church of God. We read in Colossians 1:24 that the church is the body of the Lord Jesus. Not only were we purchased with His blood, He said that now you are the body of Christ and members of that body. And whether you're an eye or an ear, or a nose, or a little toe, or a fingernail, or whatever you are in the body of Christ, you're precious to God. He has called you out. He is the one who called you. And it's not a matter of, quote, joining a church, end quote. But rather, it's a matter of being placed in the church by God when we believe on the Lord Jesus. And then our responsibility is to identify ourselves with a local church. Called out. called out of the world, called out of a world system that is spearheaded by the devil, called out of a system that has as its goal to conform us to its will, its philosophy, its values. That's what the world wants to do to you. That's what the world is trying to do to you, even after you respond to the call of God to come out. You know, I was a youngster when I responded to that call. But you know what? God was still calling me out of the world. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in this local church, in the Sunday school here. But I was still a part of the world, and God called me. And He's called you. And if you haven't responded yet, He's calling you even now. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been to more church services than I have, but you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He's calling you. He's called you. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He doesn't force you to come to Him, but He calls you. Have you responded to the one who with His own blood made it possible for you to have a relationship with God? The only way that could occur is for your sins to be washed away, to be cleansed. We cannot have a relationship with God who is holy. We're going to look at holiness in just a moment. But we couldn't have a relationship with Him who is holy in our unholiness. But the Lord Jesus took our sins upon Himself. Have you received Him? Have you responded to that call in a positive way? You have responded to the call. You've either received the Lord Jesus or you've not. We're called out of the world and we're called to God. What does He say here? It's the church of God. It's His church. It belongs to Him. The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It belongs to Him. We're called out to God. And we're called out with one another. God calls us to community. I'm so glad you're here this morning. If you're a believer, I'm glad that you see the importance of gathering with the people of God. If you're not a believer, I'm glad you're here to hear the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is only through Him, by grace, through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. The church is both universal and local. There are believers all over the world, and we are all a part of that called out body of Christ. But locally we meet, and that's what they were doing there in Corinth. You saw it on the map there in southern Greece. He's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth. There were specific local churches identified in that way because they met together in a particular geographical location. A lot of the New Testament letters were written to local churches. In the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapters 2 and 3, we have letters written to seven specific local churches. This, at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, is a local church. There in Corinth, there were about 500,000 people that lived in that area. Wouldn't that be about the size of Greensboro? Some of you folks may know better than me. I would say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of the size of Greensboro. It was on a very strategic trade route. We saw last week that little isthmus there where people would come and they would cross over, even bringing their cargo from a ship and then taking it by land across those 4 miles and putting it on another ship. It was a very important trade route. It was a cosmopolitan city, but it was also a city known for immorality. A city that was famous for its wickedness. And the gospel came there. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And lives were changed. Lives were changed. There were still problems. If you've ever studied the book of 1 Corinthians, which we have here a number of years ago, and then our life groups last year, 1 Corinthians shows that was a very dysfunctional family of believers. They had a lot of problems, a lot of struggles. Again, reminds us of ourselves. And they were to be messengers too. Not just Paul, and not just Timothy, and not just their team. They couldn't reach everybody. They couldn't reach all 500,000 people in the Corinth area. They were all messengers, and Paul was challenging them. And it applies to us as well at this local church. We are the called out ones. God has called us out from the world. You know, but we need to consistently, and I think this book will help do this, it will challenge us. If our heart begins to drift back to the world, because, you know, the world doesn't stop calling you just because you leave it. Because you come to Christ, the world doesn't say, well, we lost him, let's go work on somebody else. No, the world keeps calling. Romans 12:2, Paul says, be transformed. Don't let the world conform you. It's trying to draw you back. And if you think you're too strong to be drawn back to the world, be careful, because it's not obvious always that you're actually being drawn back, that your heart is being pulled back to what's important to this temporal life rather than focusing on what's important spiritually and eternally. We too, like those in Corinth, we have been called out to God. This book, I believe, will help us to be careful not to allow our focus to gradually shift away from God Himself, listen to this, onto the things of God. You realize that we can get so caught up with the things of God that we miss God. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't it be awful if I was so enamored with everything that my wife owns and all of her clothes and all of her wisdom and all of her beauty, but I forgot about her. Forgot about her. You know, our hearts can shift away from God. Even as we focus this week on praying about our individual participation in service for the Lord, don't let your service for the Lord get in place of your fellowship with the Lord. We are called out to God. And we're also, like those in Corinth, we're called out with one another. Have you truly embraced God's design, not the design of any people, not the design of the elders, the design of God, that there be a community of believers? Have you failed to embrace that? Have I failed to embrace that? What a challenge. We're also called out, just like the Corinthians, we're called out to be a messenger like Paul. That's his call to me. And I'm going to tell you, I can't fulfill that call only on Sunday morning up here. That's not right. I mean, well, I did mine, now it's up to them. No, I've got the same responsibility you do all week, 24/7. That's our responsibility. We're messengers. I need this. I need this in my life. I need to be challenged. I need to be pointed. I need to be reminded, as each of us do. So first of all, we have this recognized recipient, the church. But then secondly, we see that there's the saints, okay? The saints. And here we have another Greek word, hagios. Hagios. This literally means ones who are set apart. Ones who were set apart by God. Now, there are certain religious traditions that say that they have the authority to canonize a person to become a saint. We celebrated this past week Valentine's Day, but technically Saint Valentine's Day. No, we're not worshiping a saint. We're not remembering, you might not even know he was a Catholic saint, Valentine. We were celebrating love. But if you celebrated it, you may not have celebrated it, and that's fine too. But you know, there's not an organization that chooses who are saints. In fact, God says that every believer in the Lord Jesus is a saint, is a holy one. who has been set apart by God. He has called us out of the world, and he has taken us, and he says, "Hey, I want to set you apart from the world. I want to set you apart from the world." In Jude chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter in Jude. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that he writes to those who were called, again, called out, sanctified by God the Father. God is the one who makes saints. God is the one who sets people apart as holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, we read that Paul there is writing again to the church at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So we are set apart by God. We are set apart in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I love these verses, verses 9 through 11. Paul writes this to the church at Corinth, the same people that are receiving 2 Corinthians. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And then he wrote, "And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Does the gospel have the power to change a life? Yes, it does. It's changed my life. Am I everything that I should be and want to be? No. Have I seen a change in my life? Yes. Am I seeing ongoing changes in my life? I definitely desire that. The gospel doesn't just change us at the moment of salvation. It continues to change us. And God has set us apart. He said, "Such were some of you. You were like this, but now I have sanctified you. I have made you holy. I have made you a saint." Hebrews 10:10. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Set apart from sin. Set apart from sin. Remember, they were living in a culture known for immorality. If you were known as a Corinthian woman, you were known as an immoral woman. We've been set apart. Set apart from sin. In a culture that's known for its wickedness. We might think, well, we're here in the Bible Belt in Greensboro, Guilford County, North Carolina. We're not as bad as people in fill in the blank, whatever state you want to stick in there. God looks down and he sees the sinfulness. He sees the sinfulness of the church too. He doesn't not know what we're doing. If we're sinning as believers, if we're hiding sin in our lives, if we're not living in such a way that's in line with our position as saints, and he knows that. But it's not just a matter of avoiding obvious sins, but rather having a holiness that matches his holiness. Peter tells us in his epistle, "Be holy, even as God is holy." God's the one who called us. God's the one who set us apart. We've been set apart from sin, and we've been set apart to a relationship with God and to service for God. He has set us apart that we can be His, that we can be close to Him, because He, through the blood of the Lord Jesus, has washed our sins away and has brought us into a relationship with Him that we can serve Him. You can't just go out and say, "I'm going to go serve God just because I want to." No, you have to be a servant of God. You have to be a saint. You have to be a holy one. But you can't make yourself holy. You have to allow Him to do that work at the moment of salvation. We are declared to be holy. And that's in a positional sense. That's now our position before God. And if you heard me say it once, you probably heard me say it 100 times. We have a position before God, but our practice in life, God desires He commands that that would match up to our position. We are holy. If you know the Lord Jesus, you are a saint. And He desires that we would live in a way that is holy, that honors Him. And we are set apart to a relationship with all saints. With all saints. We read that He writes here to all the saints that are in all Achaia, that broader area. Corinth was the Roman-appointed governmental capital of the province of Achaia. And we know that there were other believers there in Achaia. We read in Romans chapter 16 and verse 1 about a woman, Phoebe, who was a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So we know that there were other believers there, also in Athens, which was a part of this province, Achaia. We read in Acts 17:34 about some who believed on the Lord Jesus. We don't know if a local church was established there at this time. But the point is, there was a connection of all believers in holiness. And of course, that applies to us. To every believer in Greensboro, in Guilford County, in Piedmont, North Carolina, in the southeastern United States, and keep on carrying it out. There's a connection between believers. There's a message that is being sent to all saints. And we all are saints if we have been set apart through believing on the Lord Jesus, not by our works, but by receiving the gift of the Lord Jesus. And when you receive Him, the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again, He took all your punishment. When you receive Him, then you become a part of the church. Then you become a saint. Then you become a messenger. You were set apart to be a messenger like Paul. He's not challenging the Corinthians to completely stay away from sinners. How could you be a messenger if you never rub shoulders with those who don't know the Lord Jesus? He will show us that we obviously need to exercise wisdom in all of our relationships. It's about saying no to sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you, how does recognizing yourself and the believers in this local church as ones who were, first of all, called out, and secondly, set apart, how does that recognition impact your confidence as a messenger? Does it give you confidence that you are a messenger? And that you should be an effective messenger, and that you can be an effective messenger? Let it do that. Let it do that. And we have one final element we're going to look at here as we come toward the closing of our time together this morning. The fourth element is a supernatural source, and we find that in verse 2. Beautiful words, again, often read as a formality. It's a greeting that Paul includes in just about every letter that we have recorded that he wrote. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A supernatural source. We have here really the thought of the Trinity, the triunity of God, the three in oneness of God that we don't have time to go into this morning. But the truth that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, but one being. And you find here God the Father. And you find here the Lord Jesus. And you might say, well, where's the Holy Spirit? He's doing the Holy Spirit ministry. The Holy Spirit ministry is not to draw attention to Himself. but rather to focus our attention particularly on the Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is here, but He's not identified as being here. That's not His purpose, even though we will see Him in the book of 2 Corinthians. We find that these blessings, Paul says, come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. Notice again the return to an emphasis on family. Paul's already identified Timothy as our brother. And now he identifies God as our Father. Again, God's design of the family unit. Interestingly, when we get to verse 3, we're going to find God revealed as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has stooped, brothers and sisters, to be our Father. God has humbled Himself to birth us into His family, to adopt us as His children. Whatever your relationship with your father was or is, might you know that God, our Father, is a Father who provides, is a Father who protects, is a Father who prepares, is a Father who prizes His children. God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have authority emphasized. So interesting, because when we go back to Paul's identification of himself, he identifies himself as an apostle, as a sent one, as a messenger. Who is his authority? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Master. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And in verse 3, we're going to rejoice to find out He is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sender of the message. And the Lord Jesus is not only the sender of the message, He is the message. He is the message. And then as Paul goes on by the Spirit of God to give us this greeting and focuses on this supernatural source, we find blessings flowing. This greeting is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. It's so meaningful. You know, I've been reminded recently, as Kim has gone through her sickness and health condition, and people have been so kind and faithful to say, "We're praying for you." And you know, you might think, well, after a lot of people tell you they're praying for you, it really doesn't mean much anymore. You know what? The last person that told me they were praying for Kim or praying for us means just as much as the first person that told us that. It continues. It continues to flow. And Paul, every time he had these words written, they were so meaningful to him. And I trust so meaningful to you as you receive them this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Blessings that are unearned and undeserved. This is a little bit corny, but I hope it'll stick in your mind. We started off talking about Facebook Messenger. Can I suggest that God wants you to be the Gracebook Messenger? The Gracebook Messenger. This book, the Bible, is great. This is a book of grace. And you know what? This book of 2 Corinthians is a book of grace. In the second verse of the first chapter, we have grace. And in the last verse of the last chapter, you'll find grace again. This is a grace book. Can I suggest that you are a grace book messenger? Paul mentions grace, the Greek word for grace, in 2 Corinthians 18 times, more than any other of his letters except for the book of Romans, which has a couple of more times it's there. Grace is needed to be an effective messenger. We can't do it in our own strength. And then peace. That's the other blessing that's flowing from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. a blessing of tranquility of spirit in the midst of life storms, not an escape from life storms, but the blessing of God, His peace in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. And oh, how we long for that. Again, we find peace here in verse 2, and then we find peace at the end of chapter 13. Peace will serve messengers well as they face the struggles and oppositions of knowing Jesus Christ more deeply and making Him known more widely. Can I ask you this morning as we close, will you commit to embrace the blessings of grace and peace from God? Embrace that as truth, that those blessings are truly being bestowed from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Will you commit this morning to enjoy those blessings? Please don't walk out of here without enjoying the blessing of God's grace. You don't deserve it. Don't think I'm not worthy. Well, yeah, do think I'm not worthy, because that's what grace is all about, because none of us are worthy. Enjoy that. Enjoy knowing that He blesses us because of the Lord Jesus. Enjoy knowing that His peace is ours. And will you commit to express the blessings of grace and peace from God? To express those in your lifestyle, in the way that you live, and then to extend the peace and grace of God through the gospel. God's offer to everyone. By grace you are saved through faith. And you can offer that to everyone that you meet. It's God's message that they can have peace with God. Paul, a model messenger. I hope we can learn from him in this book. A functioning family. Might we grow together as a family of messengers. A recognized recipients as part of the church. In this local church as saints, set apart ones, and knowing that we have a supernatural source. It's not of us. God has equipped you to be a messenger of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, to take a step of faith right now. In the quietness of this moment, and as we have our brother plays just a verse of a song, would you take that time to tell God that you want to be a messenger. A messenger to a greater degree than you've ever been. A messenger that's imitating Paul. A messenger that's like the Lord Jesus. Will you tell Him that this morning? Father, thank You for our time together this morning. Thank You for our time in Your Word. Thank You for our time thinking about Your Son and about You. Thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit. Father, that You would let us be in Your family. And that You would give us the privilege of being messengers, messenger boys and messenger girls with the greatest message there is. Father, help us to know Your Son more deeply. Help us to make Him known more widely. We pray for any here this morning that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Father, might they talk with someone after this meeting and receive Him. May they do it right where they're sitting at this moment. And let us know in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.